Appreciate it. Glad to be here with y'all today. This is one of the highlights of my years to be with y'all guys at a retreat, and just going to share a little bit of my story. I'm one of those rare birds. I'm a native Houstonian. I was born in Southwest Houston in 1957, and my brother was born about 6 years later, Steve, and my parents were divorced by the time I was 8 years old. My mother remarried about a year and a half later, and we moved to Pasadena, which was about as far away as I knew from all my friends and familiar surroundings. But within 5 months, my mother was separated from husband number two, and 3 months later, along came my other brother, Bill. But over the next 4 years, my mother married husband number three, and then husband number four. And so as a result, I felt a real lack of stability in my life and a fear of being just out of control. Fortunately, my dad spent a lot of time with me and my brother Steve. He actually visited us twice a week and provided some level of continuity in my life. But as I grew up, I had a huge need for predictability and being in control. By the time I was 15, I'd already decided to be an attorney. And I had a huge need to be somebody. I wanted to be significant. And in my early 20s, I believed that my personal and professional achievements would give me that significance and the peace that I so desperately desired. But there seemed to be a hole in my life. I didn't know what it was. In my 20s, I tried to fill that hole with accomplishments in school and at work. Unfortunately, it is tough to be perfect all the time, and that's seemingly what it took to fill that hole. In addition, I tried to fill that hole with relationship after relationship with young ladies. I was a good dancer, and so it gave me the confidence to pick up women at nightclubs. My coworkers affectionately called me Disco Randy. It's kind of embarrassing when you walk into a downtown law firm and you go around the corner and somebody says, "Is that you, Disco Randy?" I'm with my client, of course. But strangely enough, I had convinced myself that I was in control and that I was the author of my success. My philosophy about life back then was whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, he can achieve. And life looked pretty good. I was graduating from law school. I had almost guaranteed a well-paying position at a downtown law firm, and I had a sweetheart who desired to be my wife. But unfortunately, my measuring stick for success was my success at work and my relationship with women. And I thought that achievement of my goals in those two areas would bring me significance and would bring me peace in my life. But then the circumstances changed. Within 1 year, my dreams were shattered. I got my sweetheart pregnant and asked her to get an abortion. And shortly thereafter, she told me she never wanted to see or speak with me again. A few months later, that law firm that I had spent 6 years before graduating from law school told me they didn't want to hire me and that I ought to seek employment elsewhere. I was devastated. The two areas that I looked for significance were both in the toilet. It was a mess. But God knew what I needed despite my circumstances. A man came into my life who I'd known for several years. He invited me to a luncheon and then to a large Christian men's event. At that event, there were probably about 4,000 men, but the speaker seemed to be talking directly to me. He talked about filling the hole in my life. And he said that the only way to fill that hole was with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I had no idea what he was talking about. Although I had some spiritual training as a young child, I had taken a 13-year sabbatical from all religious activity. I had not darkened the doors of a church in 13 years. And the speaker said that there's a verse in the Bible that says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, that didn't take much for me to accept. I knew that my life was a mess that I had caused and created. I was a sinner. I was also a liar and a womanizer. I was lying about to my boss about when I wasn't at work. I had actually told him that I was sick so I could go to a bowling tournament. I continued to pursue women with my own pleasure and for my own significance. There were times that I would pick up women from nightclubs and take them home with me. It's a mess. But then the speaker said something that really shook me. He said, it only takes one sin to separate me from God forever. And that it didn't matter which sin it was or how bad it was, that I would never be good enough to earn my way back to God, and that I wasn't going to go to heaven. But he also shared some good news from the Bible. He said, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. And he shared what that meant by explaining that Jesus Christ paid the price for my sins by dying on the cross and coming back to life 3 days later, which made it possible for me to be forgiven for my lying and my using women for my own pleasure and to stroke my own ego. He also explained that Jesus Christ bridged the gap between me and God. And finally, the speaker shared with me that the Bible states that I must accept that, number one, I was a sinner, that choosing my own way and living my own way has separated me from God, that no matter what I did, I couldn't earn my way back into a relationship with God or earn His forgiveness, and that Jesus Christ had paid the price for my sins and was raised from the dead, and that His death and resurrection was complete payment for my sins. In addition to all that, God's forgiveness is a free gift. And that I couldn't earn it, I couldn't pay for it, and I certainly didn't deserve it. And all I had to do was to accept it. Now, I had lived my entire life with the basic belief that when I died, I would stand before God, and if my good deeds outweighed my bad deeds, I was going to go to heaven. And for the first time, I realized that wasn't going to happen. And on that day in April of 1983, I chose to accept that I had caused the separation from God and that I was ready as an act of my will to choose and to trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. The Bible says that to all who have received Jesus Christ, to all that have believed in His name, God gives them the right to become children of God. And at that precise moment, I became a new creation. I was His child. Now, during the next 2 years, I met and married Carol with her two boys who were then ages 3 and 5. We bought a home. I started my career as an estate planning attorney. Life was busy, and I was growing slowly in my faith as a Christian, but I had no concept of discipleship. And in 1986, a man took an interest in me and my life. Now, Jay, who you've met and you'll see again, he listened to me. He spent lots of time with me. He met with me even when and where it was inconvenient to him. He generally cared about me and didn't have an agenda, didn't want me to buy anything or to get anything from me. Now, I was really self-centered. I made him come to me. But he was very patient with me. He invited me to take a look at the Bible so that we could see what God had to say about life and God's perspective on lots of issues in life. First, we met in kind of one-on-one in a series of short books called Operation Timothy, which some of you know. And then over the years, he encouraged me to memorize some scripture, to study the Bible, and to also to learn how to pray. Early in my relationship with Jay, he also helped me develop some relationships with several godly men who, including the guy that had actually discipled him, Dave. And the time that he spent with me relationally and in the Bible had an enormous impact on me and my family, as you'll soon understand. The impact of having Jesus in my life has brought about several significant changes. I just want to share a couple of them with you. First, Jesus gave me the strength and the courage to stand up for my marriage despite the example that I was given as a child. As you may recall, my mother was married and divorced 4 times. Wasn't a lot of stability there. But approximately 24 years ago, I moved out of my house and was separated from my wife. Carol and I have fought most of our married life over how to raise the kids. And I told my wife that I wasn't going to move back into the house until our oldest son, who was then age 20, moved out. See, Brian had chosen not to work or not to go to school for 1.5 years. And he would simply party with his friends with the money that my wife would give him or the money that he would make selling drugs. And Carol made it very clear to me that I was no way I was going to get her son out of our house. As you can imagine, tensions were high. Our relationship was lousy. And I was emotionally worn out. It was tough. I mean, Carol was accusing me almost daily of abandoning her. And I desired to be with my wife, but I could no longer stand or tolerate 2 roosters under the same roof, both Brian and I. My oldest son had made it perfectly clear to me, both in verbally and in action, that there was nothing I could do to force him out of the house and that he didn't plan on changing anything. But approximately 2 months after our separation, Carol asked me if I would go meet with Dave. Dave was the man who discipled Jay. Because just to kind of discuss our point of impasse. And fortunately for my wife, she had a real high opinion of Dave because we had spent a lot of time with him. We had a relationship with he and his wife. We had spent dinners with them. We had gone to Mo Ranch Family Vacation Week several times. We had had a lot of events. And so when we met with Dave, we shared our hurts. We shared our concerns. And we listened to Dave. And we actually came up with a solution. My wife was afraid that Brian would end up on the street. Frankly, I didn't care where he went as long as he was out of my house. But when Dave realized that it would only take about $2,000 to get Brian into an apartment with a good chance of success of living on his own, Dave even volunteered to contribute to the Brian Moving Out Fund. And that really softened my heart. I mean, my attitude changed. Within 2 weeks, the deal was done. Carol and I were back living together, and Brian was in an apartment. Now, another significant change that resulted as a result of having Jesus in my life was a shift of my life from being entirely focused on me and my pleasures to having an eternal perspective. As I grew and faltered following Christ, the need to develop a purpose in my life became more important. I found out that without a purpose, it was really hard to evaluate which activities in life were beneficial and which ones either had little benefit or were actually detrimental to me. My general purpose is to know God and to make Him known. And by discipling another man and watching God create that spiritual reproduction, it helps me understand the value of focusing on my purpose. Here's an example of spiritual reproduction in my life that only God could have accomplished. At a gathering about 10 years ago, we had 5 generations. We had Jay, we had me, we had the guy that I was discipling, Russell. We had the guy that Russell was discipling, TJ, and the guy that TJ was Jeremy. We had five guys, but it almost didn't happen. Russell moved to Beaumont shortly after we started meeting, and I figured, Russell's on his own now. I'll go find another guy to disciple. And Jay asked me, well, does Russell still want to meet? I said, well, I don't know. What difference does that make? He was 100 miles away. Remember me, I'm the self-centered guy that made Jay come meet with me 2 blocks away from my office when we first started. Well, Russell and I continued to meet for years. I would drive to Beaumont, or he would drive to Houston, or we'd meet halfway in between at Baytown. And we were very involved intimately in each other's lives. His dating life, when he got married to Renee after her recovery from a serious accident that almost took her life. The restoration of their home and area after Hurricane Rita hit Beaumont. And their time in Papua New Guinea and then Alaska and then back in Houston now. Investing time in Russell and other Jesus, Paul, Timothy relationships has changed my life. It has eternal value. There's one other significant change I want to share with you that's resulted as a result of having Jesus in my life. God has changed my attitude toward my wife. He's given me a heart to please her and to protect her. We're still dealing with a lot of issues, but God helps us to communicate with one another rather than stuffing our emotions. And I'll give you an example. Carol's dad and his young Vietnamese wife are living with us. They live in our home. And Hannah is 4 years younger than my wife. Doesn't speak a lot of English. And there's a lot of tension between Hannah and my wife. There's a lot of tension between my wife and her dad. But through our entire marriage, especially the last 6 years, God has used my wife to break me of my pride, my self-sufficiency, my stubbornness. My tendency would be to avoid conflict and to seek comfort for myself. But the Bible says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I don't have to be self-sufficient. God has promised to take care of my needs. He's more than capable of taking care of my marriage and taking care of Carol. My job is to focus on my relationship with Jesus Christ. And by doing that, God has continued to change me and my life, which started with a decision to trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior back in 1983. Thank y'all.